First Chronicles this morning. First Chronicles. Chapter 12, 1 through 8. First Chronicles 12, 1 through 8. We're looking at a series on soldiers of the cross. Soldiers of the cross. It's going to be a total of 8 points throughout the series. As I often do, last week I went from 1 to point 4. We were there all night last Sunday night. We're going to go back to point 4 again, and we'll go back and pick up number 2 and keep them in order, I think. I want you to hear this point number 4, and so that's why we did that. And we're looking at 8 points that embrace the word commando. As I studied for this series and looking at that word soldier, I came upon the word commando and felt that is very appropriate. That's what we need to be, a fighting special force of soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the 8 points are commandos for Christ, willing commandos, separated commandos, equipped commandos, truth-loving commandos, fundamentalist commandos, disciplined commandos, and special forces commandos. Let's ask God's help and direction, and we'll jump back into point number 4 this morning. Father, we thank you and give you praise for your blessing in this worship service this morning. Indeed, it has been a time of worship to you, our great God, our Father, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we thank you for loving us and coming here and dying here on the cross of Calvary, shedding your blood and rising again from the tomb. We see the magnificence of the worship that will take place in eternity. As we look into the book of Revelation, we see some wonderful, wonderful truth. May it inspire us as believers today. I ask you now, Holy Spirit, to fill me for the message. You take it, you bring it the way you desire. I ask that you bring out the points, you bring every single thing. We want to hear from God this morning and ask for that to happen, and so I am entrusting you with that, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verses 1 through 8. Now, these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, and even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. And then we have this list of names, and I'm going to skip it and jump down to verse number 8. And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might, men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. As we consider equipped commandos this morning, we have begun that and have gotten about halfway through this point. And where we ended up last Sunday night, I'm just going to back up a couple lines so that we can see where we are. The last thing we looked at was the fact that Satan has a desire. He has a plan. And that plan and his desire is to frustrate the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, so that he can defeat you, so that he can take you down. He is looking to take you down. We looked into 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to be looking at a lot of scripture today. And I'm going to start in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. As we consider the point, the fact that the wicked, rotten devil is trying to frustrate and hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So as we look at Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, the Word of God says this, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, Jesus is talking to one of his disciples here. It's like he's talking to all of us here if you know Jesus as your Savior. And you need, and I need, to recognize when this is going on in our lives, where Satan is trying to play mind games or whatever his plan of attack is against you. We need to be prayed up and confessed up and ask the Holy Spirit to quickly show us when the devil is coming to try and frustrate the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I believe that we can all attest and can remember the fact that this is exactly what Satan tries to do in our lives. He comes to us throughout the week, and he comes to you with bad thoughts about somebody else, or he comes to you with some kind of a depressing thought, and he's trying to whip you and to defeat you and to get you down. And so what we need to do in that area, as in a lot of areas of our lives, is to ask the Holy Spirit that he will get a hold of us right away and let us know what the devil is up to in our lives. And I guarantee you, if you ask the Holy Spirit to do that, he will do that. We need to get the devil headed off as soon as possible, because we know he is going to come and he's going to try and to frustrate what God wants to do in our lives. And for me as a pastor and all the preachers that I know, the favorite day of his attack is Monday. Monday. Or even tonight after the service is over. He comes with his attacks. And now you said this today, that's going to get you in trouble. Or whatever it is. And so we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to get that into our hearts right away. He's up to it. He's coming. Resist him now. And then we have these great words of encouragement, 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Verses that I think we know well. And as a result of all these verses that we know well, sometimes it's just like, and we miss it. We're missing it. We're not remembering the point of what's going on. So in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You see, his attacks on you are nothing new. He comes to every believer with his attacks. He wants to wear you down. He wants to destroy you. He wants to ruin you. He wants to get you to stop coming to church. He wants to get you to stop praying, stop reading your Bible, stop having a Christ-like countenance. Stop all that. His goal is to stop you from doing that. And so we need to recognize very quickly what he is up to in our lives. He is our adversary. He is our enemy, it says here in 1 Peter chapter 5. And he's as a roaring lion. And in our text in Chronicles here, we see that these soldiers that came and connected with David, they had faces like roaring lions, it says. You see? Well, so when the devil comes to you with his roaring face. You give him one back. And you say, I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the blood of Calvary. When you resist him like that, he's out the door. He is gone. Oh, by the way, well, I'm just struck me. That Christian film, I forgot that. What's the name of it? We just watched it. What? War Room. War Room. If you haven't seen that, you need to borrow it from Mark Struby, somebody else. It is a powerful film on the power of prayer. Really good. It will wear you out, kid you not. It'll wear you out. You will cry. You will be inspired. I still am. We watched it almost a week ago now. And you know what? We have a weapon of prayer. And we need to use it every day and a lot. And I beg you seniors that are not going to places of work anymore, will you please commit to pray more than ever for this church and these people and this country? We really, really need that. So by God's enabling grace, we will not give in to Satan's schemes. You see, as soldiers here this morning, we have to have each other's back. You know, when those special forces, when those commandos go into a fight, when they're assigned to go somewhere and risk their lives, I want to tell you something. They're watching out for each other. They are not there by themselves. They're there as a unit. And that's what we are as the Church of the Living God. We are a unit. We've got to have each other's back. We've got to be protective of one another. We have to watch out for one another. We have to help one another to stay strong in the faith. We must know the Scriptures and we must obey the Scriptures. We must be loyal to God and not the Sauls of this world. We're differentiating in kinds of soldiers. We have those of Saul and those of David. Those of Saul are those the disobedient brethren. That's what Saul was. He was a disobedient brother. And David had the guys who were all in for Jesus Christ, for God Almighty, the Lord God Jehovah. They were all in. And so we have to be loyal to God and not to the Sauls, not to the disobedient brethren. Now, some of us here this morning, I want us to think back over our lives. Some of us here this morning need to do something. We need to get out of the past and live in the present. We need to, as Paul said, forget the things that are behind. And as we get away from the past and get into the present, we have to realize that there are brethren and movements and churches and preachers and evangelists who 20 and 30 and 40 years ago were on the side of David. They were all in for God. But over the years, they have gone away. They have gone downhill. And now they are in the camp of Saul. We've got to get away from the past and understand and do our homework and do not support disobedient brethren. We are either going to live in the camp of Saul or we're going to live in the camp of David. David was all in for God and all of his soldiers were all in for God. Saul was on the road of disobedience and continued on the road of disobedience, and it got worse and worse and worse until one day he had to fall on his own sword or have someone else drive his sword into him and kill him. It was all over, and the Philistines desecrated his body and the bodies of his sons. We've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We cannot live in the past. One of my dad's famous statements, if you pick up a dirty stick, you're going to get dirty. Don't pick it up. Don't get involved. I'm thinking of a tremendous man of God who's now with the Lord, who built, who through God's power and might and Holy Spirit power built a mega church before there were, was such a thing. Fundamental, strong church. And Daddy went to heaven, and Sonny Boy took the reins. And Sonny Boy held the stuff for a while, and then he started getting off. He started heading over to Saul's camp. And today, you would not believe how far they've gone from what Dad had done in his life. That's what happens. We cannot think about where it was. Where is it now? What's happening now? What are they doing now? Are they still standing by the stuff now? Or are they gone? Are they moving? I've watched this many times. I've seen the beginnings of the moving. And when that gets started, it's not going to be real long till they're way over and full-fledged into the camp of Saul. Now, there's something else about these mighty men here in the book of Chronicles. These mighty men were skilled in the use of their weapons. They were skilled in the use of their weapons. And that brings us back here to chapter 12 again in two verses. 2 and 8. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left hand in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of the bow. Even of Saul, see, even some of Saul's brethren left him and went to David. Even of Saul's own tribe of Benjamin. Then in verse number 8. And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold, that special place in the middle of the troops that was really, really, really guarded for David the king. Under the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. You know, one of the big advantages, if you want to have a winning football team, you need to have men on that team who can run really fast. Faster than those on the other team. Speed is a necessity. And that's what's going on here in 1 Chronicles. These guys could move fast. They were really quick, and these mighty men could annihilate lots and lots of people. They could be outnumbered, but they're going to win. They were ferocious commandos. They were unbelievable soldiers. They were in great physical condition. They were like the athletes who prepare for the Olympics. They were in peak condition. Now, I want you to think back in your life to when you were in peak condition. I mean, you got up and you felt so good, and you've been working out, and your muscles are toned, and you know, you've been working away and practicing away, and man, you just, it's hard to get any better than it is now. That's what this was like. Now this is the way we need to be spiritually. That's the way we need to be spiritually. It doesn't matter that we can't walk as fast. I can't run hardly at all anymore. I can run, but even that kind of hurts. It's like, man, I used to be able to go pretty quick. But you know what? We can have it up here. We can be fit. We can be peaked out up here and in here. We can all do that. And that's what this is about. Being peak. I remember my senior recital on my euphonium, that silver little baby tuba thing. I'll tell you, the month and the weeks leading up to that day when I had to stand in the concert hall and play 25 minutes of memorized music. I can remember that leading up to that, man, did I felt so good. Man, all those muscles around here, man, they were at their peak. And I could pop the high notes and I had technique and, I don't know what that is anymore. But spiritually, we can be there. You know what? We might be limping along physically, but man, spiritually, you can be at your peak. And you can excel. And every single one of us can do that. These soldiers had developed amazing military skills. I mean, they were at their peak, these guys. They could defeat armies that outnumbered them. I mean, they were so fast, it was over before the other guys got started. So as believers, we've got to be prepared as well. You know, there are men, and I'm just going to pick on us men. I don't know what you women memorize and like to do and all that, but you know, there are men, mostly young men, and maybe some of us older guys, they can tell you every player on their favorite team. They know their number. They know all the statistics. They know all the history. But they could not win a soul to Christ. They know the names on the roster. They know the numbers. They know the stats. But the verses they need to win a soul are not there. There's a problem with that. That is a huge problem. We need to make sure that we have right here and right here those special salvation verses that we can use to win someone to Christ. We need to have it bang, just like that, at any given moment. It needs to be there. That way you are at peak condition to win a soul. We've got to have that memorized. We've got to know those verses. We must be prepared with those verses. We know them so that we can use them at any given split second. We've got to be spiritually fit. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 16, we must be spiritually fit. A number of things here that we need to be up on and scripture to go with it. First of all, spiritually fit. 1 Timothy 4, 6 to 16. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Now what that means is that we exercise every day and we get into shape. But if we don't keep exercising, we're soon not going to be in shape anymore. You have to keep doing it. Bodily exercise profits you for a little while. Like when we had the snow and all that, man, I was out there working away. I was feeling pretty good. And all that went away and just sit around my desk studying. And next thing you know, you're like, zombie land again. You got to keep doing it. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. All right. So now I have memorized all those salvation verses. I know the Romans Road. I know these extra ones that I like, and I have them ready to go. You see, that any time, you don't have to rehearse this a lot now because you got it down. All right, you're ready. Godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor, and suffer reproach. Because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in your lifestyle, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Reading. Paperback books. No, the Scriptures. Give attendance to reading of the Scriptures, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now you take that to yourself, okay? This is not just for Timothy, this is for us. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Alright, so we have to get into peak condition spiritually. We have to be spiritually fit. And if we keep that up every day, we're not going to fall down. We're not going to get injured. We're not going to get shot. We're not going to get out of the race. We're going to stay in it. And you're going to be an inspiration to somebody else because you're doing that. And you keep on doing that. And then we must study the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing means cutting it straight. Getting it right. Doing the right thing. That's why we study the word of God. You know, if we really study and meditate in the Scriptures, we're not going to fall prey to the Sauls, because this will be here. And when we see the Saul, we'll know that's a Saul. We'll know they're deviating. We'll know they're off the rails. Stay away from them. And you know that. One more. We must come out swinging the sword. We must come out swinging the sword. Commandos, soldiers, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, I'll tell you how this works. 2 weeks ago, I was over visiting my parents. My wife was along. She was watching Mom, and I was running some errands with my dad in the afternoon. And he said, I need to go get a haircut. So we went down to this little barber shop where I've gone all my life, you know. I was a little kid. Used to go there. And went in there, a new barber, though. Now he's old. And guy's in the chair. And he gets out of the chair, and Dad gets in the chair, and he goes over, and he starts putting on his coat, and then he comes back, and he starts talking. And my dad's sitting there getting his hair cut, and my dad starts to throw some spiritual things into this conversation. Guess what? That guy was done talking. He's out the door. You see, the Word of God cuts. Man, the Word of God slashes, and it's stabs. It pierces. It convicts. You got to be ready to whip out the sword. Okay, most of you are right-handed. But these guys can do it both-handed. All right? Let's be like them. Let's whip out the sword. Know the sword. Use it well. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. It's a powerful, powerful sword. Best sword ever. Thank you for the example in 1 Chronicles of these mighty men of valor who ran to the minority side, who ran to the remnant side, who ran to stand for God. And they did it at a cost. And so will we today. But we must stand. Father, help us this day and every day to really, really be strong in you, be strong in the Word, strong in prayer, strong in witness, strong in good deeds. May we indeed impact our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.